No, I read the Narnia books before I read The Hobbit. So.
All right. Yeah, The Lion, the Witch, and the Audacity of This Bit. Welcome back to another Linux Emcast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm Ben Stone. Here I'm piloting this little nightmare train each and every week, joined by the man to my left, one Jordan Sawong. I'm running out of ways to mispronounce it. You can't really go a whole lot of places with Quang, can you?
Quang, Quang, Schlong.
Schlong.
Start adding letters. Okay.
They used to call me like Jordan or
just Jordan.
It was some permutation of like Shania Twain or something like that.
All right.
I don't remember specifically what it was, only that it was like a pun regarding that. But like it's great because like people call me on the phone and like I know immediately whether or not there's someone I want to talk to or if they call me Mr. Quang.
And the man with the red buttons joining us from the Isles of Britannia, thinking he could be playing Elden Ring DLC right now, but stick around. We'll get to that as one Pedro Mateus, and together with you, Sean Realm Dynamic, helping us form Cocaine Voltron.
He could be playing Elden Quang.
Elden Quang?
Elden Quang.
Is that
the prequel? I don't want to play with your elders.
That's the prequel to Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
Restaurant Simulator.
Absolutely.
That's how that works.
Supermarket Simulator.
Gentlemen, I touched on this in the pre-super shows, and go back and listen to that if you're a patron. I've been on a Darksiders adventure, because I'm not cool enough for Dark Souls. And I've had these games forever. They must have been in a bundle. You know, 1, 2, and 3. And I'm like, let me try this first one out. Let me try that. And it's the War Mastered Edition. And I'm playing it for a little bit. About an hour in, I'm confused as hell with this game. I'm like, it is so disconnected. I'm like, why is this person angry at me now all of a sudden? And what's going on? And I hit the pause button. I go to YouTube. And you know, Darksiders, what do you type in after that when you're looking for movie? Easy one, is he? I'm missing like 60% of the cutscenes. Proton's not rendering it out. Doing
transitions
jumps
from like one area to the next. There would be a cinematic here or something,
yes.
But you just some
in engine stuff too. Like, and I'm like, so these lore dumps. And I was like, oh, this makes so much sense. And I continued on that after in like this weird situation to where I would play a little bit, then I'd pause it and alt tab and go back to the movie and try to like watch what I eventually did. It was just too distracting to play that. But it's a fun game if you're looking for something that'll basically just run on anything, man. I suggest giving that a try. Then I ran Darksiders 3. This is what I want a little bit of feedback on. Do you think game sales hurt your enjoyment of a game? Hear me out. I hit a boss, and I hit one of those bosses where you just go, this is bullshit. We've all hit that boss. Don't pretend that you haven't. And you go and you look it up and you find out that this boss is broken in some particular way or does something notably different from mechanic-wise from the rest of everything in the game. There's multiple threads with multiple people going, you got to get around this and do this. And unfortunately, there's no cheese way of doing it. You'd go it, right? The thing I ran into in this particular game in Darksiders 3 was like everything in Darksiders 3 has a bit of a like jink wind up, like throw you off with a dodge mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
This boss doesn't.
He just attacks you.
He's got his own beat. And you've been like an hour into this, 2 hours into this. And I had to think to myself, I'm like, I think I paid like $5 for this game. I don't know if I care enough. Now, would that be different if I paid like $30 for it?
I think I would probably get angrier if I had paid the $30, because the opportunity cost is a lot higher. Like if I pay like $5 for something and I get to a boss and I'm like, I can't beat the skill wall is too high. The game, the mechanisms are busted or whatever. Oh, well, I paid $5 for this. If I paid $60 for this, I spent a good chunk of change in this thing and it's broken. I'm mad.
Then the follow-up question, do you keep playing after you've defeated the broken mechanic, or have you just exhausted everything?
Are you just doing it
like your beat, uninstall, we're done?
I guess it depends. It really depends if the game has its hooks in me.
Yeah, everything leading up to that point is like, did I enjoy that? Yeah, okay, I'll probably keep playing. Maybe that was the one thing.
Right, right.
Like, but the bed, like, of chaos in the first Dark Souls. But that boss fight.
But then if the second instance of that happens, then I might just tap out. I'll just be like, no, this is a quote-unquote mechanism now that you want me to engage with? No. No, thank you, sir. I'm done.
It kind of hurt me, man. Like, reading that is like, this is the only time you need to adjust how you dodge. And everything else is going to go back to that. You're going to have to immediately, like, I
immediately unlearn the shit that you've been doing.
I felt like I was literally playing Dark Souls Tonka Edition, because it took me, like, I don't know, probably 20 times to get through this, dude. And I finally got through it, and, like, I had to struggle. I had to struggle, because, like, this is a $5 game. You know what? F this. But I was like, nope, you have nothing else left to play, dude.
When you finally did it, how much health did you have left?
Okay, this is the thing that happened, too. I'm glad you brought that up. This is one of those bosses where you don't really rage quit the game, but you've definitely, like, had moments of, like, fuck this, I'm out, I'm gonna close. Alt F4, not out of, like, rage, not throwing anything. You're like, oh, all right, fine, that was cheap. Or that was bullshit. Had a couple of those moments.
Need to take a lap or whatever, yeah.
Right, you gotta get up, regroup. I'll come back to this. Or even like, you know what, I think I'm done. That was so cheap that it got me there. But you came back to it. What was the initial question?
How much health did you end
right. With? Thank you. I'm sorry about the sidetrack. This is one of those situations where I was like, okay, let me take another crack at it. I think it was a Friday last night, because I was in here at everything. Let me just take a note. I was able to put it down. And it's that thing where I was able to just walk in, and then I realized that I still had money to, like, buy a bunch of health. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I can cheese this. Walked in, ran his ass down. Flawless. Didn't get touched. Didn't have to use any of my consumables. I walked in like I was doing a speed run, man. It was, you ever have that happen? Like, you just build it up in your head, and somewhere in your subconscious is like, you know what? Here's a little gift. I'm just going to let you dominate this boss fight. There was no ceremony or anything. I was like, that was boring.
I had that brief experience with the Outer Worlds, and I think what it really was I had not eaten anything in like 8 hours when I got stuck on this one little fight, and my brain was just not doing it. So, like, I came back the next day, I'm like, I'm just gonna, like, get through this one segment, and I did it in like 5 seconds, and that was like immediately after I ate dinner. I'm like, oh, I was just hungry stupid the entire goddamn time. This was actually easy. I just got in my own way.
Hunger, not sleeping properly. Sleep deprivation is a big killer, especially for games that require reflexes. Yeah, usually if you have a nice sleep, then pick the game back up. It's like, oh, that was easy. Huh. Mm.
Yeah, I guess like all of the oopsies that you had to like process through, and you just came back. But like, I didn't get the serotonin though, right?
Right.
I beat it. I'm like,
you just feel numb at the end. You're just like, what am I doing here?
He's dead. Okay, fine. Anyway, you guys got anything going on this week?
I've made it through. I got to make it till Tuesday, and then I can end this stupid fucking diet, and I can shove a pizza in my face. I'm looking forward to that. I got caught up on a bunch of the of like media. I didn't watch anything last week. We talked about that in the pre super shows. Mm-hmm. And the boys is really scratching an itch, I might say. You know, in my noggin, I'm really, really enjoying that.
Definitely want to keep an eye on it.
Oh yes, for sure. you want some Funyuns? You want a Bloomin' Onion?
Yeah, is that a Bloomin' Onion?
You want some?
Hey, did you get anything?
No, as we're gonna be talking about it. The DLC for Elden Ring came out.
Pedro's got a thing. He's just waiting for it to be summoned.
Let's just get into it. It's the Steamlytics. Now, for 35 minutes of Pedro not shutting the fuck up about Dark Souls.
How dare you? There's two paragraphs. We're at least in for a half hour.
No. We got Potty Pidgea instead of Vati Pidgea here.
Yes, more swear words. It's more Elden Ring from what I've played of it, which unfortunately today I didn't get to play much of it. But like the hour change that I got to play yesterday, yes, very much looking forward to actually getting going, because I was just, I knew that I didn't have a lot of time to play, so I was just like the area that you arrive at in the DLC, I was just going around and looking at the things. Ooh, there's a dungeon there. Ooh, there's the big guy over there. Ooh, there's the NPC there. Cool. So, yeah, I know what I'm doing, I think. So we'll see. But, as you may have noticed, there were a couple of, especially if you follow the, From Pierre Software Luke Elden Guru. Ring, yeah, account on Steam or on Twitter, X, whatever it's called now. They had a big tweet saying, hey, the Steam Deck has some issues. We know about them. We're actively looking to fix them. And as it turns out, Valve also released an update for the SteamOS 3.66 preview beta, where you can, they fixed something about Elden Ring. Fixed an issue with a rare session crash during the early startup of Elden Ring. That wasn't the issue they brought up. The issue they brought up was that if you leave the game idle on the Steam Deck for 5 minutes, it stops responding to inputs altogether. You have to force close the game and then go back in. The issue that I was running into and a bunch of people were running into on the GitHub, the Proton GitHub issue tracker, was that someone did a fucky wucky with the easy anti-cheat, and they set the file checker to look for the DLC file specifically. So if you don't have the DLC, you don't pass the file verification and you get an inappropriate activity detected and you're stuck in offline mode. So yeah, no, everyone's got £35 or $40 to spend on a DLC, right? That seems unfair.
I mean, how else will I be able to play with Throbbing Uncle and have him come help me?
The Dung Eater.
I know what Throbbing Uncle is. That's it.
I have had like zero exposure to Elden Ring DLC, so I don't know what the fuck any of this shit is.
I just read a story on it because I know who is it? Al Solar or the pothead guy? The naked Solera? Dude with the big pot. Don't pretend you don't know.
Yes, the naked player.
Let me
player
solar. That, yes, I
know. Oh, yeah. let me solar. That dude, yeah.
So there's like another guy now who's like helping you out. Okay. He'll come help you if you're struggling with it. I don't know, man. Like, you know, I did a bit of reading up on it, and it's DLC on the Steam Deck. It doesn't seem to be big issues at all. You know, people are able to run it on like 30-ish, medium-ish, and I don't think anybody was expecting, you know, a big change in Elden Ring itself. They weren't. I'm like, all right, this is going to be more of the same, so we're going to be good to go. People, it's really hard to go through some of your self-reported performance stuff, dude, because like it's a Steam Deck. It's a static thing. They'll be like, nah, man, I'm running 120 8K on my Steam Deck. I got the secret. I'm like, no, you're not. Stop wasting people's time by reading that. I found a video of somebody actually running it, and it's about 30 on medium-ish with some stuff turned on to low. But the good news, ladies and gentlemen,
originally, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 720 or whatever it's running at. Mm-hmm. And it's still a stuttery mess, according to some of the Windows reviews with the shader compilation.
That's been a thing on Windows for Elden Ring since release. Yes.
And Linux is the superior platform for playing Japanese PC games, apparently.
I thought, doesn't Windows have something like that now, though?
It doesn't do, because for Linux specifically, they do the pre-baked shaders, pre-compiled shaders that you just download.
Yeah.
On Windows, that's not a thing. You Why have not? To compile the shaders yourself because they're not using Proton. it's a lot easier to pre-compile the shaders if you know exactly what the software is that's going to be running. It's going to be that.
I noticed that too in the Epic Games Store when I'm launching Outer Worlds or whatever, where it's like every time it's like compiling shaders, I'm always compiling shaders.
I mean, this is part of like Linux on the gaming with Steam, dude. Like that is like step, you start Steam, you're like, I'm just going to minimize you while you're doing them.
Yeah, you go into the menu and you're like, yeah, compile shaders in the background, and then you just kind of let it sit, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, there's your attack factor, because I just was like, all right, shader shit, go.
Yeah. GPU is already like a huge attack vector. I can't wait until we start getting some of those out in the wild.
That's, we're getting trained, but hey, man, you don't have to worry about that with a couple of titles on your brand new shiny M-Series Mac, right?
That's right. You see, all of these TF2 servers and shit have a bunch of remote code execution that if you use the Mac, you're not vulnerable to, because those games just don't fucking work anymore. Yeah, so... Valve dropped max support for TF2, Portal 2, and Half-Life. Half-Life 2, all of the Source 2 stuff, Day of Defeat, Lost Coast, Left 4 Dead 2, Portal.
Source 2.
Sorry, yes, Source stuff. But yeah, they have all gotten the axe. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, Apple support on Steam is dying. We've talked about it on the survey that, you know, Linux usage is like grossly overtaking it and Mac numbers are shrinking. And it's this thing where, like, when we say we want people, users to have a choice in, like, their computing platform, we actually do mean it. And people who are running Macs are losing their options. And, you know, there was that article saying, like, oh, you know, it's Valve's fault that Steam has poor Mac support. But, bro, Apple doesn't make it easy. They don't support standard graphics frameworks. Their OpenGL support is shit. They do not offer Vulkan support. You got to use Molten VK or you got to use Metal, which is not... like, does not offer a comparable feature set to Vulkan or DirectX 12, and also is a lot more difficult to use because you need to get a Mac if you want to test stuff. You can't cross-compile. You can't do any sort of testing without having, like, actual Mac hardware. So it just becomes this massively expensive and complicated issue to just support Macs at all. And Apple is not really caring because most Apple gamers are buying their shit through the iOS store, through Apple Arcade. And they play games that have those microtransactions that Apple gets a tasty little cut of. So Apple is happy with this development. Absolutely.
I'm sure they are, but they're making, listen, there's something to be said. I've never been a fan of, like, Apple, but, like, having that, like, perfectly walled garden of, like, no anything for you was always that person who would show up like, I broke my computer. Why did you install it? Here's a Mac. F off. Go away. Especially on mobile, but I remember getting excited about Steam being released for the Mac. I did. Why? We get a free copy of Portal. Yay! But I was very excited, though, because there was no hope. There were no rumors. There was nothing about Linux. You're like, well, they did it for Mac. Maybe they could do it for Linux. Little did we know at the time. And, yeah, it's kind of weird how these times, they be changing. With, you know, Team Fortress 2, Portal 2, Half-Life, Left 4 Dead 2, basically everything Steam makes as a game company, or had made, I guess I should say. How long, Pedro, do you think Steam's going to be around? Like, before the number, because we talked about it week in and week out, you know, every time the Steam survey comes up, Mac's just going down, man.
I think the Steam client's probably going to be around for a while because Apple already did the Apple thing of saying, you don't get to be a native application anymore. You need to go through the Apple store and you need to kowtow to the Apple way of doing things if you want to have the Steam client on macOS. So if that didn't stop Valve then, it probably isn't going to stop them now because they already have everything in place to just keep doing it.
I think it might be a situation though where, like, once they're like, Valve is one of those organizations where there is probably just one dude maintaining the Mac client of the Steam stuff, right? So once he fucks off, that's it. Game over.
Probably. Yeah, that could happen. Yes. But yeah, no, most, like, the Apple users that I know, most of them just hate the idea of getting something that isn't from the Apple store. If you ask them, okay, just go to the website of the thing, download the DMG. It's like, oh, but then I have to go into the settings and disable the security thing, and I don't want to do it. If it's not on the App Store, I'm just not going to do it.
Good.
So yeah, they'd rather buy the stuff directly from Apple, and yeah, I can see how that alienates any and all third party platforms, be it for Mac or iOS. If you're not working directly with Apple, you're not going to have a good time. It's shit and it sucks, but yeah, Windows becomes more dominant as a result, but Mac is shit software platform for anyone who isn't Apple.
I think it's a great software platform for their target customers
and for Apple.
Yeah, like, I mean, it works. I agree with nothing that they've done to make it as hostile as they have. But there's a part of me that is very glad that they did before that corner of the market who were like, You don't need to know anything about anything. Here, you just do that, and you want the thing, you hit the button. That's it. We're done.
And you say it's a corner of the market, but like Apple has like what, $1 billion cap? It's a good chunk of people. Like
little startup, dude.
Little mom and pop garage business, you know, Apple.
$1 trillion company.
Let's look at it through this lens though, because Steam, like any soulless corporation, doesn't operate on fee-fees. They got numbers to back up this decision. They looked at that and they're like, you know what? It's not worth maintaining. But then again, like, all right, it's not worth the hassle. So we still got to balance it out. Like, how many people bought a Mac to game on? Nobody. Like,
no, it's more like, hey, I bought a Mac to do other stuff. Hey, and some games run on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be emulation. Hi, welcome to our world, Mac users. How you doing?
Well, the game is not an emulator, kit, which is effectively just Proton.
Yes. Yeah, right. Coming up next, a tool that I know we definitely use all the time. I should say. I don't speak for the royal we.
I use it too, very much. I use it so much, in fact, I wish it was a thing for the official Steam client. But yeah, the Steam DB extension for your browser, the thing that lets you see at a glance, when was the last time that this game was updated? What was the lowest price that this game ever had? A bunch of other statistics directly on the store page of the game you're looking at. They have a bit of an update. They've focused on the achievements on this one, which is they've grouped them by update. So if there's a new version of a game comes out or a new bit of DLC comes out that adds new achievements, they split those off. If it's the game has single player and multiplayer, they split that off too. And they have up to 45 languages localized for the extension, which is very, very nice. Very good. Seriously, find a way to get this to work with the official Steam client, please. Just being able to have all of that information right there. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. You know, every time I read something about this, it just makes me wish that I had the mechanic in my head that made me crave the Chivos, because like that's a whole different type of game for like replayability, right? And you're like, oh, I want to get this and I want to get that and get that. My brain does not care, man.
But then there's the other side of that as well, where like people play the games because they have easy Chivos, and so
quit being a banana, Jordan, all right?
Never.
Well, that's just straight up NFTs, but
I will forever be a banana because my spoon is too big.
Banana, Linux native game, by the way. being able to organize everything with your updates, your DLCs and all that, like if you're into the achievements, like go for it, do it, man. But this system is powered by Steam Hunters, which is like, oh, I learned a thing that exists. So that's pretty dope. And, you know, now your achievements can automate, you know, if the game, you know, if it's like an old game, how many times have you seen an old game like, hey, we've added achievements. This will detect it and let you know. And yeah, like a lot of things with Valve, like this would be nice if it was on the client. I might use the client more because I let me know your preference. Like if I got to get on the Steam store to browse stuff, open a browser. It's just a better experience.
Being able to open up another tab is like kind of nice.
And yeah, especially if you're looking for, okay, you remember this game that you read about that it was coming out. And it's been out for a few years, so you go to the Steam store, it's like, oh, neat, it's a decent price. When was the last time this was updated?
It's good to have that information, right?
Yeah, no, it's really nice to have that, and they're also doing some cosmetic stuff, like letting you collapse bits, like you've played this game for 1,000 hours, please leave a review. It's like, just button to collapse that.
Steam, you need to dial that notification down in the client, homie, because like
I think they just need to add an it's okay button,
right? Or like
shut up, just
because like you hit me with that like an hour into the game, 2 hours into the game, and I was like, you've played this game for 2 hours, like I hadn't even decided if I'd like the intro screen on this, all right? Like if you keep annoying me, like I have to imagine enough people like, yeah, go away, brr, thumbs down. I'm just saying, give us more runway. Make it completely optional. Make it work. But we do have one game to talk about this week. A game where you fight the Radiance as a bug. Wait, that's a different game.
This one has a hammer and not a needle.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's not a nail. Noria. Are we going with Noria on this?
Noria.
The Gold Project, where you venture into a frantic Metroidvania. That's right, and you poop shit. I mean, it's pixel. Metroidvania. What more? It looks pretty. I like it. I remember playing this like one or two NextFest ago. I downloaded it because I'm always looking around for the hipster pixel stuff or Hollow Knight-ish type things. Did a little research. This has been put together by a 9-person team that was backed with a successful Kickstarter for about 150,000 euros in 2022. So they had a pretty good turnaround time on this. And as I remember, I think I might have talked about it on the show. If I didn't, for those of you listening, as most of you, it's Squint, the game. Am I alone with this? Like, look at that.
It looks pretty tiny, and like, yeah, the UI could use some scaling.
Especially that map
with all the glowing stuff.
It's so tiny. It's small. He's like, oh, I want to pinch him. And things get really, for me at least, confusing. And, you know, I'm only playing on a 43-inch monitor, so maybe if I had something, you know, a little more modern, a little larger, that wouldn't be too much of a problem. But yeah, I remember playing with the demo. I mean, it was like super smooth, super pretty, plenty of hacky slash. It felt good. Really nice pixel art. And again, good experience if you squint a little bit. But I haven't scrolled down for a reason, because when you scroll down, the demo is still up. Go for it. It's $24.99. Which I'm worried about just a little bit. Because that makes it 1.6 Hollow Knights. You can buy 1.6 Hollow Knights for $24.99. This is not hating on the price, because you got to deal with what the market's going to bear. And holy hell, do we have a lot of $19.99, $14.99 pixel platformers that are just as gorgeous, just as fun to play. I'm not saying it's not worth it. I'm saying I worry about when I see stuff like this, because when I think $24.99, what do I think? I think like cult games like Risk of Rain, right? $24.99. Hollow Knight's $14.99. Yeah. And that was like, or Team Cherry was like, hey, we're going to put out a game that is like, they fucked up the metrics for everybody, man.
$24.99 is also like AAA game that was like maybe 2 years old that I'm looking at picking up. That's also sort of the price range.
Do you think $19.99 hits better?
Maybe.
A lot better. Like the being around the 20 currency unit mark, that's like, here you go.
If you're like super into the genre and it looks good, yeah, but like 25, you're getting into like premium territory a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and you say that, but if Team Cherry's like Silk Song is $24.99, I'm like, here.
There's always going to be that.
But they can also refer back to like, see Hollow Knight, a game that we charge $14 for. That is not a $14 game. That is a much more expensive game than that.
It is. Like, I think the original price, was it like, I don't know, it might have always been. I think we've done this on a show, like we did price tracking on Hollow Knight.
But like, I mean, just in terms of like content, right? Like in terms of like time it will take DLC. You to finish. Yeah.
Plenty of time later on in the show to talk about Hollow Knight. I wish him the best of luck. And, you know, I look at games like this and I look at numbers because this is a good game. The demo, I enjoyed the demo. It's got a lot going on, but I always look at like how many reviews, and like even like Risk of Rain, which is wildly popular to the extent, still very low amount of reviews. Like I fear that the price puts things in like a niche where more people would pick it up at $19.99. Again, not because it's not worth it. Hell, it's probably worth double this. I'm just talking about what the market will bear on Steam with the glut of these. How much is Blasphemous, Pedro?
I don't know how much it is right now, but it started at I think it was 20 something, or yeah, it's down to £5.
Blasphemous
the original one. Okay. Blasphemous 2 is
$14.99. Like, I think it's priced wrong.
And you can get both for 20.
Yep.
And again, that sucks. And then again, you might have to have done something like this because it might have been cheaper, like, you know, as a Kickstarter reward, right? And you're like, oh, if you act now, you get it for, you know, a $20 whatever, instead of like the price goes up later. So be careful about putting yourself in that type of situation if you're getting ready to publish a game and you're gonna be doing it through crowdfunding. I don't know the full story behind it, but good job everybody. I liked it. I'll pick it up when it's not $24.99.
Yeah.
When it's $19.99. $23.98. So we got the max.
That's my chicken nugget and I'm sticking to it. Game updates, though. Not one, but two. Start with something that nobody's ever wanted.
So, Jackbox Party Pack. You might have played it. You might have played it with us in the after shows, and we do that sometimes. We're not doing it this week, though. I think we're doing Chain Together. But that said, it's a good party game if you get a bunch of people in. They don't need computers. They can play it on their phone, and you can get, like, 8 to 16 people in some of these games. The problem is there have been, what, 8 Jackbox party packs? And all of the games are spread across many, many of these games. And I'll be fucked if I could tell you where T-shirt Hell 2 is. I couldn't do that offhand. People have been asking, you know, can we just get a menu that has all the games that I own? And after years, they have finally capitulated. You can now have all of your jacks in one box. They have a game picker. It ties into your Steam account, so it can tell which copies of Jackbox Party Pack you have. And then you can just pick the game you want and launch it and get on with your life. Yay! Yeah,
one jack to rule them all is a very good idea. I'm glad, after how many years?
Well,
listen to people.
So here's the thing, though. I gotta wonder, though, if they had did this initially, we would have some like really, really shitty Flash-based Jackbox picker that probably runs like ass and doesn't work. So
that's the thing. I think for Jackbox specifically, the game is popular enough that there would have been enough of a push. This is like, just redo the launcher. You can keep the games as Flash as long as they work. Just give us the SWFs. That's whatever. But make the launcher something usable.
they were scared, though, man, to break with the tradition of everything being 720p.
Mm. Right.
Well, on the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
I mean, you really need 4K for fucking Jackbox, right?
4K. I'm just saying, man. Like, DLSS. It's real fun opening it on a ginormous monitor, and it is a postage stamp at 720. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
What do you do in that situation? Are you alt-enter? I'm pretty much a first swipe team alt-enter.
F11. There's a bunch I'll of games that F11.
My muscle memory is like hold enter.
Oh, I'm super fucking basic. I will just move my face closer to the monitor and try to read.
All right. I like to take a couple of stabs at it, but
I'm just trying to make sure that like my eyesight is good. I don't. I may need
just
glasses.
Lean on the desk like 2 inches from the screen. It's like,
well, you know, like even from like where I'm sitting here, I'll just be like.
Yeah, I mean, what if it's like when you try to, like, maybe it's choose your own adventure, you get scrollable, it's not in the whole window move, like, damn it.
Oh, that's nasty. See, I think the worst version of that is, like, fucking Serpent in the Stagnant Lands, where it's 4K monitor? 120 by, like, 90. Have fun with that.
Yeah, go walk across the house and look at it and see if you can, yeah.
They just like have that game at optometrists and they just make you play it as part of eye exam.
That'll work.
So tell me, what's happening in this frame?
So we've bought enough time to where I have a segue for this. Let's quit talking about games that you play with your eyes and more about games you play with your feet.
Okay.
Talking about ITG Mania. IGD Mania. If it's got the word mania in it, Track Mania, what else is it?
I assume Track Mania.
All right. And
Elastomania, to be fair. Elastomania is kind of stuck in my brain, the one with the motocross thingy 2D.
What about Kleptomania, everybody's favorite action adventure RPG?
What, Skyrim?
Dude, yeah, most games. Yeah, yes. Let's just say RPGs, Kleptomania, the genre. This is ITG Mania. This is the a spiritual successor, man. They're keeping Step Mania alive. When I say Step Mania, that gives you a context clue. Yeah, DDR, man. If you don't know, they've been doing this. It was initially a fork of Step Mania 1.5. And this release is just came out. And it fixes like a big issue they've had with Sync Drift, which might be a problem with a rhythm-based game, right?
Yes, you want things to be on sync.
Right? Might be a small issue, and now you can unhide your gerbil in full screen. When I read stuff like that, I'm always like, that's a real problem for enough people somehow, and I'm trying to imagine, like, why does that come up? And it now works with a Raspberry Pi 5, so you can, like, build your own little arcade thing going on. And my favorite thing about these is this horrific upside-down thumbnail smiley face that will haunt your dreams.
I scrubbed through that video looking for him to make that face, and I was very disappointed when he did not.
That is just good old classic Doom 3 animation rig nightmare looking face.
Yeah, I know. This guy's at about 50% health, I think.
Oh, it's frightening. But I love stuff like this. There's a ITG resources, a pad, there'll be a link in the show notes, for building your own pads, and like people go, you know, medium ham to like full honey roasted. I love it. And, you know, every budget too. And this is a like gateway and has been traditionally exercise drug.
Yeah.
Like to get the body moving and potentially the body grooving. Like well, gamify I mean,
it. If you watch that video, you see people fucking schmoving on that on those fucking boards, man.
Like, oh yeah,
that is legit cardio. I remember when the Wii came out and there was that game No More Heroes. There were people who couldn't finish that game because they lacked the physical fitness to get through some of the boss fights from swinging the sword around. You had to like actually get in shape in order to win that game.
And to charge the sword, you had to tap it off.
I mean I've done that so many times. I'm like so efficient at that. That requires no energy on my part. It's like when Goku comes out of the time chamber and he's just always Super Saiyan. That's me with Jack and Chip.
Somebody who's only played DDR in the arcade probably longer ago than you were born for a lot of people listening. I feel comfortable saying that handrails are cheating. Fight me.
That's how everyone's doing it. They do the lean and they do the
They do the crazy with the shuffle feet. I love watching it now. I
knew a guy who used to do that. He was like competitively, it was crazy. Yeah,
it's dope. Go check it out. But let's get into our regular news, because the thing we talked about last week, the review units, in traditional Microsoft fashion, Microsoft's got an exclusivity deal going on with Qualcomm, right, which is about to run out, by the way. About to run out. So we're going to see like MediaTek and other people start making these, hopefully. But Microsoft went...
Assuming ARM doesn't get them all destroyed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Microsoft's like, hey, we can't send it to you just yet. We got to recall the recall. The recall feature. We got to recall that before you get them, because clearly that would have no performance impact or anything like that, and that might look bad. So hold on. Like, people were ready to go on this stuff on Tuesday, and they're like, what the hell's going on? Microsoft's like, whoa, you mad, bro? So
you guys didn't like recall, right? So we're talking about exclusivity. We're talking about Microsoft Xbox. We got to talk about the Snapdragon X Elite. We're getting some reviews now from PC, from Windows Central. It seems like people like it. At least in terms of as far as a Windows laptop that runs on an ARM CPU goes, they ran a couple games on it. 1080p on high for GTA 5 isn't bad. That's a 10-year-old game, but you know, people still play it. And if I'm playing games on a laptop, I'm not expecting like fucking 900 frames a second or anything. I'm not a fan of the condensed numpad they have on that VivoBook as well. You might as well go big or no, go home. And the big thing that worries me.
I mean, that looks like something I would try to use and fail.
Yeah. 192.16 equal sign +++. Yeah. But I'm looking at these and I'm like, okay, the review looks good. The performance looks decent. The probability of all of these laptops having a lock the fuck down bootloader is like 99.999%. You think Asus wants you installing Linux on this shit? Hell no. We were talking about that a bit in the pre-super shows and about like, is this going to be a thing where like, you know, the more expensive models are going to have the unlocked bootloader? Because like, you look at what we're dealing with Android right now. We're going to XDA forums and download this particular tool to unlock this bootloader.
Yeah. Completely founded in that worry, but I think Qualcomm has gotten out in front of this. Like, there'll be a link in the show notes getting out ahead of like, if this shit gets locked down today and on us, we don't want to fucking hear it. Like,
because they've
got all the tools. That, like, we are completely open sourcing the boot chain. We're pushing this out, upstreaming it to the kernel. Like, this thing's just going to work regular UEFI. But yeah, what Jordan's saying, like, could be a very real possibility. You know, I think it did all right. But to me, this is like a very expensive novelty laptop. Like, it's still like, if I was like, okay, I need a MacBook, that's going to see, there you go, Freudian slip. I just buy a MacBook instead of one of these, because like, I don't want to beta test this stuff on Windows. And that's what you're going to be doing. But You take this. It's way more interesting when you take this SoC and put it in something that the size of a Steam Deck. Because the battery life is legitimately unhinged. And this thing's got, I saw one review touched on it. I couldn't find it. I did try, because I hate it when other people go, this other person, because I'm like, tell me about the other person. Tell me. I want to go watch more of their stuff. They did a test where it's basically a rounding error whether or not it's plugged in. And that's big. The performance on battery, roughly identical, to when it's plugged into the mains. It's not like you're taking a hit. Like, you go, all of a sudden your battery goes, you got to cut your dimming down. I'm like, no, this thing can just kind of keep rocking, man. The M3, though, stomps it in gaming.
It just does. Yeah, it's already revision 3 on Apple hardware. Makes sense.
Yeah, I got a Sharpie. I can write 3 on it.
The price tag is another thing, too, because, like, I figured I was going to look at what the price comparison is, because, like, you would think that this would come in cheaper than...
How many FPS do you think we're getting here?
It's, like, at least 120.
That's my biggest concern is... will the FEX/box people be able to get EAC and Betalight to work in Proton over the emulation layer for the ARM 64 bits?
Oh, hell no. I don't believe that for a second. That's going to require the Box 86 people or the Easy Andy Sheet people to realize, oh, maybe people want to actually play this game on ARM CPUs. But yeah, the VivoBook at least comes in $200 Canadian cheaper than the cheapest MacBook Pro M3 that has 16 gigabytes, but it is still $100 more expensive than the cheapest 16 gigabyte Mac M3 Air. Cause let's be real. You're not buying an 8 gigabyte laptop in 2024. That's
Apple said it had magic memory, Jordan.
I know, unified. So it's split between the GPU and the CPU. So it's really like 4. But yeah, honestly, these Windows benchmarks don't really mean that much to me. They're a good benchmark. They're a good ballpark, I guess. But, like, I think we're going to see, like, a lot of major speed wins and a lot of major speed losses on Linux. There's just going to be stuff that our side does better than theirs. Because, like, speaking of, like, Box 86 infects, these people have been working on this shit since the Raspberry Pi. They have way more lead up than whatever crap.
It's what we said. They got the infrastructure built.
Yeah. As opposed to Windows, which has their own translation layer that...
Which is totally based on what FEX has already put out.
Right. So again, I really think it's still going to be a bit of a mixed bag. What I want to see is the Debian versus Asahi numbers. I think that's going to give us like some real insight into like what the limits of the hardware actually is.
Right. And, you know, it's an interesting thing, man, because... This is not the droid you're looking for. If you want to buy it for the novelty and you want to burn like, you know, 12 to 2 grand, however you want to spec one of these out, I don't think Qualcomm or any of these manufacturers are going to get the $1,000 plus price tag for these that they want to, because look at those margins, baby. We want some Apple type margins. You're not going to get them. So
yeah, Intel's taking too big a cut. We want some of that cheddar back.
They want some of that cheddar back, and you know they want it as a premium device. That premium device needs to do premium stuff. And the only like big standout thing here is battery life, but it's not night and day difference. You know, it's not like, oh, we charge this thing every 2 weeks. So, and it's the first gen. So who knows? Who knows? I'm cautiously optimistic about this. I could come down. I didn't expect to be here. I expected to go, oh, this thing crushes everything. Or like, well, that was a flop. Now it's at a very difficult spot. I'm like, it's kind of all right. Just too expensive. The tech's there, just not the price.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the early day syndrome. We're like, Apple had 3 years of basically being the only game in town. And now we're starting to see what the competition looks like. And they're
and to what you said, let's see what it does on Linux. So. Framework, hear me. One of these for the Framework 13.
And, nice. The thing, because this comes from Windows Central, one of the pros that they have at the bit is like, you should buy this if you need a Copilot Plus PC with a 45-watt TDP. I'm sorry, but the Microsoft AI isn't a selling point for a lot of people.
So, what are you talking about? That's how I... Wait, hang on. What's Copilot?
It's the Microsoft AI.
I was just being the average consumer.
You gotta leverage that 104 TOPS NPU to generate some fucking images with Bing, right?
That's marketing is going hard. All right, AI is from
new
this.
Cortana is
I'm
bad.
Laying down the law. We only refer to AI as Al from now on.
I posted that on this.
You did. You get credit for it. But now, this has got Al built into it. And yes.
It's got ALF built into it.
Yeah. Like
keep your cat away from
it. With AMD and Intel both shoving ALF into their upcoming generation of CPUs. Like for fucking who, dude? Anybody like genuinely fucking with this stuff's got GPUs. They're what are you selling this to?
I had a thought while I was cooking dinner, and it was like, you know, what if you could use, what if you could use these NPUs for like x86 emulation to like speed that shit up? And then right. I'm like, but then it would just hallucinate a bunch of fucking instructions, right? Like,
yes.
but then if you get popped with EAC, it'll be like, no. My processor hallucinated a bunch of cheats and injected them into my game. Yeah. It was
the LLM. It wasn't me. It was the LLM.
Good luck with that. RIP, L. I look forward to 2 years when you're no longer a marketing thing. So, let's talk about things that are exciting news, everyone.
Well, better late than ever. José Exposito has pushed out a big merge for, adding the Wayland DRM lease protocol to Mutter, which is the GNOME window manager type situation.
I thought it was a Rammstein song.
Yes. Also yes. It's the compositor window manager type situation that they have. And the DRM Wayland lease protocol has been around a while. Was added to X Wayland in 2022. KDE added it to KWin 6.0 earlier in the year. So GNOME getting it now, actually not a bad track record. It took them significantly longer to recognize mice that had polling over 60 hertz.
isn't this a good thing since GNOME is better than those other desktops you mentioned?
No.
It's superior in every possible way? Is more popular?
Because the other desktops got it.
It makes your teeth whiter?
Does your laundry for you?
Will grow your hair back if you're going bald.
Yeah.
I would use GNOME if that was the fact, because boy, this is thinning up here.
side question: When are you gonna call it and just shave? Just go Chromedome, or are you gonna go with the Costanza horseshoe?
I don't know yet. However it decides to go, because it's starting at the back like it did with my dad. So we'll see how that shakes.
Are you gonna start doing hats?
Oh, brace.
No.
you could convert to Judaism and wear a little yarmulke over it.
Yeah. That could be.
Do you like happening. Have like a just in case yarmulke that you got to break out every now and then? Do you know where your yarmulke is?
No.
All right.
No, definitely, I do not know where it is. There is probably one or two that exist somewhere because I have gone to a wedding in the past couple of years,
right?
And they just hand them out. So. Okay.
All right. So yeah, my first thought is like, I remember when VR was a thing. Remember mm-hmm. that in the olden days, like 4 years ago, and Valve tried it twice, and they're like, ain't no money in this shit.
Well, I mean, it's right now. It seems like things are mostly working on the Vive and the Index, based on a couple of these reports in the thread. For me, this is just more like, I love the fact that Linux is the platform where you just plug shit in and it works the way you intend it. So just making VR another one of these things.
Yeah.
You plug it in. The thing shows up. No fuss, no muss. Always great news. Always
VR was just better supported by Valve under Linux, but they are doing work on it.
Yes.
Why? I don't know, but they are. And
someone is interested.
And it's, I know what, interest. I hear you. Then you're just bitter about Half-Life Alyx not getting able to. Yes, I am.
One day you'll play.
What I did like about this particular merge is like, look, I did all the things. It's implemented. The protocol sees the VR headset, I think, because I don't actually have a VR headset. So I can't actually.
Dude, I'm going to XKCD so hard. Like when they, like 20 years from now, when the little glasses you pop in and play Half-Life, and I'm going to, dude, I like legitimately had that like roughly 5 years ago. I'm like, oh, that's where this game stops.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I get it. I thought people were over exaggerating. They weren't. So yeah, Half-Life 3, not VR, confirmed. Good on GNOME. We're doing that, man. A lot of people do use GNOME. Isn't that like the pack-in or default for Fedora?
It's KDE now. They moved it to Plasma.
Oh, it is.
As of 4D, yeah.
Oh, why do you think Fedora, they decided to use the inferior desktop manager?
You know what? I decided to do an experiment. The only reason I started using GNOME mm-hmm. is because I reinstalled my OS on this machine, and that was the default desktop environment, and I thought to myself, hey, I'm just going to do that. And I'll be different because you got, because Pedro's running KDE and you're running XFCE, so we got a little bit of spread.
I used GNOME a couple of times because it was like the default with a Kanata for Ubuntu, and I had to install that for some commercial hardware I'm testing out, and that was like, we're using this, and every time, just out of the box, I have to go to the search thing and type TER. I'm like, fuck all this noise.
I just do that anyways, right? I don't know.
No, I want my default notification bar to have a terminal right on it.
All right.
That's what I'm here for, baby.
Okay.
Whatever. I'm just saying for me, man.
Yeah. I'm giving Plasma 6.1, I guess now, a shot on a spare laptop. And it took like 3 fucking hours for me to get it to a point where I like it.
Well, I mean, Pedro, you were bragging on the latest version of Plasma only being slightly broken, right?
Yeah, no, I saw the 6.1 update come down and I put on Discord. I wonder what they broke this time.
Oh, I can tell you.
Yeah?
I was using their new workspace configurator and it crashed when I added a new toolbar.
I didn't even know about that one.
Like, you know, I fucked around with KDE back in the day. As soon as XFCE became, I was using XFCE, it made me mad because I didn't use it for a long time because it didn't support desktop icons. And I needed one or two. You've seen my desktop, like one or two. I'm not joking.
I have none.
then they added the support. Then I got mad at them because it's like, damn it, I finally got used to working. Now I have like 5. But that entire time, man, like I've been watching like the fight between them. It's like, it's options, man. You guys are just bored. Like and KDE battles, if go back to like 2001 /. Go read some of those threads, man.
After a week of using it, I can safely say it is a desktop environment that I can use to launch my applications.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That is my opinion of KDE 6.1.
No, you're supposed to have an emotional attachment to it, like, and defend it.
No, that's just for Emacs. That is solely reserved for Emacs.
All right. Fair enough. So, something that will be far less controversial. Hollow Knight, Silk Song, and when's that getting released? Well,
shut up your face about it.
I mean, maybe you should consider it, dude. This is, okay, get the right thing. There we go. So one of the guys who's got access to Hollow Knight doing development testing, he is the unofficial official spokesperson for Team Cherry because they've never like came back and contradicted anything he's ever said. He decided to go into a subreddit full of people like jonesing for the game. Like, let's go to the Silk Song subreddit and have a little talk and just let everybody know. I'm tired of reading about Silk Song being in development hell. Okay, I understand you. I get to play it and you don't. So just take my word for it, guys. Like, don't worry about it. So this article comes from Games Radar, and he was like, he was taken aback by people being grumpy at him. That he did what I just said. And I'm like, oh, hell, this is probably going to be... Oh, then I went and read the thread, dude. I'm like, whatever, dude. Like, here's what he said. Hi, guys. I literally know they are not in dev hell. LOL, JK, have fun not playing Silk Song. I just made that part up. But that's what it reads like. And what do we get? Top Combat. Dev Limbo. Dev Purgatory. We're excited.
Crackpipe. Yeah.
This is like... This guy is known to Team Cherry. So, you know, there's no question in my mind. They're in Dev Heaven. Now, this is a good comment from Pixel Plutative of it. Only problem is Dev Heaven looks a lot like Dev Hell when you have no clue what is happening. And I think that's it, man, because like I went and mapped it out. It's 5 years and 9 months since the last Hollow Knight DLC. Does it feel that long? No.
Yeah, honestly.
It doesn't. Silk Song was supposed to be DLC from the original Kickstarter campaign, and they decided the biggest issue, like, believe it or not, was height. Hornet was taller. They were going to have to redesign all the levels and stuff. And it just boiled into, you know, and it was free. Like, if you back the Kickstarter, we get Silk Song for free. So, like, okay, that's fine. But that also means that some of us have been waiting on that damn game for a decade, coming up on 9 years. And then we had two, like, is it development hell? This is where you really start thinking about it. 2 years we had that Xbox showcase where they showed Silk Song. The 12 of us who follow this lost our damn mind, man. We're like, oh my God, this is like, and somebody asked on Twitter, they asked the Xbox, like, what are the release dates? And they said, every game shown will be out in the next 12 months. I think it was 12 months. They gave a firm time. And you're like, even Silksong, you're like, even Silksong.
They 12 blew months that. Later.
Right. So they didn't make any friends at Microsoft for that one. But that got me thinking, gentlemen. Like, what really institutes, like, what counts as development hell? You know, it's kind of like, you know, is it the same thing? Like, not having a firm timeline and having a money spigot is just as dangerous for the game as, you know, being under, like, no money and super crunch. Like, are they both detrimental to the end product? And I kind of bring that up because, like, it's been the Valve's development strategy. Infinite money at infinite fuck around time. And what have we got out of that? Artifact.
He also got Alex, which was very well received. So
okay, Alex, yeah. Alex actually turned out well. That's the game that you want to have for your VR headset. Some of the comments that they put in the Reddit thread is like, yeah, the one that Ven showed is like, Dev Hell is a lot like Dev Heaven. And then the person immediately behind it's like, yeah, both of them imply that the development is dead for it to be Dev Hell or Dev Heaven. So it's like, But yeah, no, I do genuinely believe that because people are shouting copium all the way up and down the thread. There's the people mocking the person and there's the people actively wanting to cope with
how
not
dare.
Having.
How dare.
There is no war in Ba Sing Se.
Yes, there can't be development hell if there's no development happening. But yeah, no, are we at something that Ven already brought up earlier in the show? Are we at Half-Life 2 Episode 3 levels of cope yet? Because if we are,
we're at the 10-year mark coming up.
It's not coming out, because if we're at that level now, it's never coming out.
So as someone who works in software development, I'm team wait until shit's done cooking. Because that's usually the best way to get the best result. Granted, as Ven mentioned, there's the compounding factor of this was promised DLC for a Kickstarter that turned into a whole other fucking video game. So I don't know. My take on it is this: at this point, on release, if it does release, it has to be flawless to not get completely ruined by people. Some games do actually live up to their hype. Most don't, but some can. It's been known to happen. So. Maybe. I think if it is all in service of a superior product, then it will be worth the wait. If it sucks, then no.
I can, like, when you say that, like, coming up, like, with something in a series, I can think of one example of a game living up to the hype. Like, people even dialed their expectations down. They're like, and that is when we saw from Bethesda, Doom.
I would throw BG3 in there. There was a lot of hype for that, and it lived up to it. Mm.
Then again, Baldur's Gate 3 had the early access campaign right. To back it up.
Now, so. This is something I want to get to. That is probably, that's something Hollow Knight had, was early access. And, like, doing it all, like, if they put this on early access, everybody just shut the fuck up and go play it.
I wonder if they were, like, trying to do, like, a Hades situation where they're like, we're going to release Hades 2 when we have more content than all of Hades 1 in early access. But, again... And the article, the Gamers Radar article does actually bring up a direct comparison to Hades. Supergiant is an experienced team who has what, like 7 games under their belt right now. Right. Team Cherry has 1. Yeah. So,
then again, I'd say Hollow Knight was a much stronger entry as a first title than Bastion.
I think it was unexpected. Like, yeah, again, I'll keep going back. I remember when we got review keys for this, and like, I didn't even look at it for a couple of weeks. I'm like, it's some little bug platformer game, whatever. And I was looking for a game to review that week, and I'm like, oh, let me just try this real quick, because I thought I was going to play it for 10 seconds and blow it off. And I'm like, what? No. I don't know. Only Team Cherry knows. I mean...
And Greg.
He literally fucking knows.
Fucking Greg, man. He'll take care of it. That's going to wrap us up for our new segment. But hey, man, maybe you get your thoughts, hints, and allegations for this. Leave us a comment under the YouTube video posted on Patreon. Or just hit us up the old-fashioned way. Head over to linuxgamecast.com and hit the submit button. Just make sure if you're sending us a press release, use the email address instead. That way it doesn't end up in the spam folder, which I haven't checked. I probably need to check because there's always something in there. And I'm not even going to write you back. That's a litmus test. All right.
What, you don't want CNC parts or like manufacturing for heavy string?
Oh, no. The dude, I've gotten people are like, hey, would you like to take a look at this? And I don't run them back. I'm like, you didn't read. Like, I don't want to talk to you. Like, okay. Like, I'm not kidding, people. Like, look at this. Look at this. I was just like, check this out. You hit content, made it big, red.
Oh, it's red and everything. Red. Ah.
It's been like that for months. Did it slow down Derp? Not a bit.
Derp is colorblind, man. That's just how it is.
Derp is just like, I will power through that. So, yeah, don't derp, kids. And
derp, not even once.
Kai Jorai didn't derp.
Woo. No, he writes in and he says, Jordan, you are not alone in your memories of Redwall. However, I remember it as an animated series on PBS Kids that aired after Arthur back in the late 90s and early aughts. Considering it airs on PBS, I should have known it was based on a book series. In Canada, it was airing on Teletoon. Thanks for the reminder. The book should help me satisfy birthday gift obligations for the year and help ease my younger relatives into the fantasy genre. Tolkien lacks the Disney anthropomorphism these kids have been so conditioned to enjoy. Smiley face. Happy Shadow of the Erd Tree weekend, Pedro.
And yeah, right, like, back at you, Kai.
Yeah, like, as far as children's fantasy go, Redwall was, like, pretty solid. And it's basically Armello, the book series. Armello is very much what if they took Redwall and turned it into a board game. So
you got to get them, like, right. You got to get, like, first experience, like, serious fantasy. You got to show them a movie with a horse in it that's stuck in some mud.
You got to show them Zardoz. That's how you get kids hooked on fantasy and sci-fi. The gun is good. The penis is evil.
What is what was your first introduction to fantasy? Like, that sticks to you, you know, not, you know, pedantic. Like, oh, this was technically it. But like, what comes to mind?
I think straight up The Hobbit.
Hmm.
The book The Hobbit is one of my, I think probably the earliest fantasy memory I can place. No. I read the Narnia books before I read The Hobbit. So
all right. The Lion, the Witch, and the Audacity of this bitch. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember reading those.
The Last Butthole, yeah.
Yeah. What was before that? Wow. Major, do you get any clues?
Fantasy books as,
or like, just like your first exposure to fantasy, like what was the first thing?
That was video games, because
okay, what was it when they dragged it across your nose and you're like, I like this.
It I can't remember the name of it, but it was something on the Philips video pack that had the that was like the Atari.
It had Trogdor in it.
It was very simple. It had a dude with a sword with platforming, obviously.
Great game, dude with a sword. Highly recommended. Yeah.
I have one memory as a child from like channel surfing and seeing this weird animated movie. Do you ever see Ralph Bashke's Wizards?
No.
That's a weird one. Yeah, that
I'm easy to please, though. I mean, that's why Jordan and I do a podcast called Wizards and Shit, because that's why my brain classifies. Like, oh, I fantasy, yeah, he's got wizards and shit in it. Let's go. Yeah. Throw the dragon. All right, we're there.
Doctor Who tries to fuck his niece. We're great.
Yeah, wizards and shit. Stay tuned. Let us know. What was your first exposure? Like, yeah, I was thinking like film, but yeah, book, definitely before film. I don't know if I got through The Hobbit as a kid, though. I think I like picked it up, fucked around with it for a minute, but I definitely have memories of reading at least one of the Narnia books.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely there. Do we count like Grimm fairy tales?
Yeah, I would say so. There's like witches and stuff.
Cartoons. Yeah.
Like even the Smurfs, honestly, that's fantasy, right? Like, yes. Asterisk Obelix.
That one I never got, because I was like, the Gargamel guy was supposed to be bad, and he's like, no, he's got a fucking infestation of shit in his backyard he can't get rid of. Like, I was not cheering for him, but I was like, I get it, man. Fuck these little blue things.
What if the Fraggles got melted? What happens if you just gave the Fraggles a bunch of guns? I want to see that movie.
Let's do it. Disney.
Here on Fraggle Glock.
Fraggle Glock. Oh no.
Oh yes.
Oh no. Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to cue the Glocky music. Hey, if you like what we do, you want to support what we do, you want to get some bonus things like that pre-free super shows and we keep dropping just to tease you, join us on Patreon, patreon.com/LinuxGameCast. All the information's under that support tab. Become a Twitch sub if you're already a Twitch sub. Link that up to our Discord. We're hanging out there the other 6 days of the week and a bunch of other things. We do appreciate it, but who do I need to thank? Oh, yeah, Beastwick's back. $1 pledge. And I want to thank... do you get the thing pulled up?
I don't
know. Barbara. I remembered. Barbara had like a very long Twitch sub thing, and I'm like, yeah, that was cool earlier this week. We appreciate it. Now, get in touch with me at Vin Stone on Twitter and at Vin on our Mastodon, mast.linuxgamecast.com. I got Blue Sky accounts. I don't have a... I think I do have a Facebook account, but I never check it, so don't do that.
I'm Jordan. I'm Mr. Pew Pew, because once you glock, the fun don't stop. Follow me on Twitter at The Burning Pool. Blue Sky at Frojo at bsky.app or Mastodon. I'm at Frojo at mast.linuxgamecast.com.
Yeah, it was Beastwick, Basil, and Erod.
Hey!
I saw Erod joining Discord earlier. Welcome. You can find me at unaccounted for at mast.linuxgamecast.com. That's our little Mastodon instance. Follow me on there.
Now we just got to admit that it would be a completely different game. What am I talking about? Glock-a-Melee. Time for some
Glock-a-Melee. Yeah. Hollow Point Knight. Well, I mean, that's basically Crowsworn, right? Hollow Point Knight.
Yes.
We got to thank our advisors, Omega Sartheron, and our executive producers, Barb Ramp, Scott, Atomic, Mike, Tomaj, David, Eshep, Ian, Kurnucky, 12345, Haplo, Drumur, and our Little Nicky fans, Deathstoat, Empty, Eggy, and Tree Sloth.
And the sea monsters were no Rider X, Machina, Trudgy, Veritanuda, Justin, Darkwing, System T, Dazing, Joe, DeKresny, Ogi One, and Frostclaw. With the Death Notes, Nova, Chad, Romeo, Renee, Leonardo, Kim, Chris, Stephen, Jill, Benjamin, Doom 2, Stephen
like B, Beck,
Dodger, Zeno, Rue, Turnover,
Alan,
Babel, Mr. Fox, Dogs, Vine, Jalou, and Piper. Oh, God, that was Steve tiny.
Another Steve, who's not Steve. Steve-O, not Steve B. And all of our fine upstanding cannibalistic tendencies. Thank you.
Thank you, Kai, and enjoy your Shadow of the Erd Tree as well, because I know you two play those games.
If you ever catch me playing Elden Ring, put me down, kids. Yeah.
But then you're gonna like dodge roll out of the way, and I'm gonna have to like stomp on you and try and butt slam you.
I didn't say it was gonna be an easy fight, man. Dad fire everyone. We'll see you next week. I was gonna say, can you dodge roll too? And like Salt and Sanctuary just slap me in the side of the head. I'm like, of course you can.
Five dudes.